another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is The Boop Show, episode 263. It's Monday, November 2nd, 2020. Back to the show, everybody. It is the Boop Show. We talk about video games and the stuff we're playing. We focus on the smaller, more indie type games because that's what we love, and we know you do too. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Dunaway. Hi, Brian.
Oh, hi, Scott.
Hi. Oh, perfect time for you to drink your little tea or whatever that is there you got there.
What that's right. It's so close. It's like, oh my God, Scott's gonna stop. He's gonna stop. He's gonna no. Oh, too late. Oh, yeah.
I should have taken the visual cue that you were still drinking right there, but. It's good to see you in your Halloween hair. That's a good look for you.
This is not Halloween hair. This is my natural hair.
Oh, all right. Well, for those listening,
podcast. Why are we talking about pre-show? I went as Dustin for Halloween, which was really no Halloween at all, but I still did it anyway.
Remind me, hold on, Dustin. He's the goofy kid with the teeth that are all jacked up, right? Or do I have that kid wrong? Who's Dustin? Oh, do you not hear me?
Stranger Thing. Oh. Hello.
Hello. Are you there?
Yes.
Is your internet dying?
Can you hear me?
I can. Not very well. Let me switch to Eastern. Okay, how about now? Is that better now? Eastern is better?
I think so. Can you hear me now?
I can sort of hear you now, but your voice and your video are not matched up at all. You're like all delayed and weird.
Really? Should I stop Zoom and restart Zoom?
Let's try. No, it's not Zoom. Hold on. Okay, it's for real now, you guys. We're here. We're doing it. And Brian was just saying his hair is supposed to be like that weird kid with the teeth.
And he fixed his teeth. Didn't you watch the latest season of Stranger Things?
No.
Spoiler.
No. I haven't seen anything but the first season. I know.
He got that Netflix money and went and fixed him.
Oh, well, he looks fine now. What's his name? Dustin.
Dustin is the character's name.
Dustin Diamond.
On the show.
Known from TV's.
Dustin Henderson is the fictional character.
Saved by the Bell.
Show, Stranger Things.
I like the idea that Dustin Diamond would ever have a career after this and maybe show up in something like that movie or that show. But it's not going to happen. But I can tell you this.
I am still lagging, though. I'm watching myself in the video and I'm still lagging.
Yeah, you're lagging pretty hard. I don't know what that is.
How about here?
Okay, we're back and we got it now. So we had other issues. Bottom line is, you dressed up for Halloween and no longer do we even know what we want to talk about. Hey, welcome to the Boop Show.
Sweet.
Boy, you guys missed all the rebooting and the whatnot, but we're back and we're glad to be here. Before we get going here, just a quick note. I picked up that AAA title, you might call it. You know, once in a while we'll talk about a AAA game here on the show. We tend to focus on the little stuff, the indies and that sort of thing. But I picked up Watch Dogs Legion.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's a Ubisoft big title release this year where you go around the city of London in a near future scenario where everything's kind of gone to crap and you live in a bit of a police state. And so you and your hacker friends got to get stuff done. And the unique thing about this game as compared to the previous two, last one was pretty good. The game before that was terrible. So they once one was out of the way, two was a good game. This one is also a good game. Anyway, you can recruit anybody. So the player is everyone in the world. You just got to decide who you want to recruit. And recruiting usually involves some sort of a mission to get them recruited. But once you do, they're now on your team. And so far, I've been able to recruit everybody, which is, I mean,
so
I haven't,
you
I haven't
to
done
go
everybody.
Up to them and go, loo, 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 or is it just like...
No, not like Rage of Empires style conversion.
Rage of Empires? Did you just call it Rage of Empires?
Did I say Rage? I might have said Rage. I meant Age.
I'm loving it.
But yeah, you don't just walk up and go, you're part of the team now. You have to go up and talk to them, and then they'll say, oi, my job every day is keep me up at night. And they'll have some problem, and they'll say, can you help me get the documents out of the... And then they'll give you mission, and then you're like, yeah, sure, I'll take care of that, mate. And then, because everyone's British, right? They're all British. And other nationalities, because, you know, London's a bit of a melting pot of different places. Anyway, absolutely. So then you go do a mission that unlocks that new person, and now they're in your list of people you can play as. You can switch to them anytime you want to. And they may have special abilities, like the construction guy. Do a construction guy. Well, guess what? Now he has access to a big old melee weapon wrench, like a big heavy wrench he can clobber people with. but he's also got he knows.
What about the policeman and the Native American and the
they don't have any of that. They don't have
no.
It's all right, not fine. Like that. It's not like the Village People. I wish it was like the Village People. Holy crap, that'd be great. But no, he can, like, you know, these drones that are like cargo drones, only he can operate those and things like that. So there's like
that's cool
special abilities per person. And again, it's anybody in the city. Now, at the end of the day, well, I'll probably get to a point where it's a lot of mixing and matching of those skill sets. But in the end, it's not going to be like every human being is exactly unique in every possible way. But it's pretty good. It gets pretty damn close to the promise of the world is your oyster. Go take advantage of it. And I'm in the mood for that kind of game. And freaking Cyberpunk got delayed, so it's holding me over, and it's working out great. So thumbs up for me. Brian, on the other hand,
this is you got this for the Steam, right? For the PC?
No, I bought it on. It's not on Steam yet. It's on. For some
that's
reason,
right. It's only on PlayStation.
No,
right now?
It's on Epic, and it's on the Uplay. Or I guess they're calling it Ubisoft Connect now. I don't know if you've noticed
but
the desktop client is no longer called Uplay. It's called Ubisoft Connect. Or Ubi
no,
Connect?
No, I have not. Oh, that's just as crappy.
Well, it's fine. It's no different, really, functionally. It just sort of does the same thing. But I bought it direct on there because I have some other games on there. So I just thought, well, it's fine. I'll keep it here. And you kind of have to have it for all PC versions of their games because it's like a strapper.
They want you to connect to their social connected thing they want you to connect to.
Which is, again, it doesn't bother me. I don't mind. So it stays out of the way. It's not a cumbersome interface. It just works. So I went and bought it there, and I like it a lot. PlayStation version apparently looks pretty good too. It is a beautiful game. And I wasn't going to review the whole thing, but it's worth checking out if that any of that sounds interesting to you. Very sandboxy.
It actually does. I've been interested in this, and I was actually, I'm still tempted to do that PS5 by around Christmas time if I can find one. I'm still tempted. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, because I'm probably going to do the the 2 years same as cash on the Xbox. That's going to leave me console money.
Yeah.
So I may get both. I don't know. I haven't decided yet.
I haven't decided either. The one thing that's swaying me slightly in Sony's direction is talk of that controller and what it does.
Apparently, that's interesting.
Apparently we're talking some next level business there, not just some gimmick.
Gimmick.
If that's true, that may have actual game implications. But in third party situations, probably not. They're just going to make the game kind of what it is on all platforms. I still think the value proposition that Microsoft's presenting with Game Pass and Game Pass Ultimate is a little bit of a stronger sale. So,
I don't have any doubt. I am definitely getting the Xbox as soon as it is available for me to purchase and pick up. I'm doing it. The PlayStation has just been a question, but it's getting more and more to the I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it.
Kind of where I'm at. So, we'll see how it goes. But in the meantime, you've been playing Rocket League. How have you been playing that? Because I saw you streaming this, and it looked like you were like on low res version. It was weird.
Now, I think we talked about this on the morning streams briefly, but yes, I played Rocket League with the with Ethan and Zoe, who are my kids, and Ethan is notorious for adjusting things, and we were playing split screen local. And I think he may have adjusted some graphics things on purpose. And Zoe was in another room playing on her Xbox. So I had heard from you because I had several people ask me, what version is this? Why does it look like that? And I'm like, I don't know. I just showed up. I haven't played Rocket League in a year. It looks fine to me, I suppose. I don't know.
When you say messed around the settings, you went in there and like reduced stuff to be a faster frame rate or something, or
I don't know. I don't know. I didn't like I said, I'm not saying he did, and I'm just saying that whenever Ethan plays games, he always adjusts the settings.
Sure. Sure.
So I'm not saying he did anything. It looked fine to me. But like I said, I haven't played Rocket League in like a year. So I just chalked it up to I haven't seen this game in a year.
Sure.
Looks fine.
Looks
check.
Fine. Yeah. Plays fine. Looks fine.
Plays fine. Check.
Yeah. You're kicking a giant ball into a net with a car. Check.
Right. And is that what you do? Because that's not what I do.
What do you do? Tell me how you play. How does the average Rocket League game go for Brian Dunaway? I have to.
Right. Let's see. There's the ball. Oh, where'd the ball go? Oh, there's the ball. Where'd the ball go? Dad, just press the Y so it'll track it on the ball. I'm hitting the Y. Wait, why am I jumping?
Yeah. By the way, I'm just a side note. I'm noticing a little conversation in the chat. The P Squirrel says, is there a console exclusive that is a must have for the Xbox Series like the new Spider-Man is for PS5? Someone answered, nope, not really. I mean, there would have been. Halo Infinite would have been their answer to that. That was the plan until it got delayed. You could argue that Bethesda is your...
There you go.
Although
look what we bought you.
Yeah, that's still a, you know, we don't know how it'll pan out in the future sort of thing and how they're going to distribute those games. But yeah, it's a weird time. It's a weird launch for Microsoft in that one way. It's almost like the power, I mean, there will be exclusives. I couldn't tell you what they are, but
they're playing a different game right now.
They're playing a very different game than
PlayStation's playing.
Yeah, think of it as not exactly like Nintendo, but think of it a bit like Nintendo is also playing a different game than anyone else. They're playing a very over here, away from everyone else, Nintendo game and doing very well at it.
Doing their thing.
But it has no connection to trying to compete or fight or anything with these other two console juggernauts. And normally, the two console juggernauts are the ones fighting tooth and nail for playership. And this time, it's different. Sony's kind of playing the game they just played, and it's okay because it worked for them. They did well last generation. Microsoft's playing a game that's actually a little more akin to what they wanted to try to do with the One, but just were terrible at getting there. Now they're kind of there. So cloud gaming, cross-platform, streamed stuff, subscription-based gaming, like those service-based, value-based game solution stuff on some pretty sweet hardware, like that's where they're at, and it's a different game. Brian's right. They're playing a different game. Now, whether that all pans out for everybody in the way they want to, I have no freaking idea, but I'm fascinated by it.
I'm excited. This is the most excited I've been about a console release. Like the One and the PS4, I was kind of like, you know, whatever. But this time around, I'm like, yeah, okay, everybody's doing something different. Got a Switch over here. I got the Xbox doing this thing, and I got the PS5 that looks like it's about the size of two PCs put together.
Yep.
Thing's huge.
PlayStation 5 is enormous. And, you know, the Series X is pretty big too, but it's also wider, so they can spread it out a little bit. The way I would look at this, and P-Squirrel, I would say, or P-Squirrel, I keep saying Squirrel.
P-Squirrel.
P-Squirrel. the question is, is it worth getting this holiday season? And I would argue neither really are. Like that, the Spider-Man game looks good, but you're getting a smaller sort of same game as the previous Spider-Man game. I'm sure it's going to be great. That first one was amazing. I loved it. But you're not getting like, this isn't going to be whole new level stuff. You're going to notice some visual improvements, but that same game's on PS4. It's not like you can't get it there. Mm-hmm. So at a baseline, I think it looked good everywhere.
It's really different this generation. I'm excited not because I have to get it. I'm excited because I want to get it, but there's really no huge rush because I still got plenty of... I mean, there's still plenty of juice left in this Xbox One S that I have. With that being said, I had a game this last week that just barely ran on it. So it's getting really time for it.
It is getting to that point, but a lot of the stuff, especially stuff we cover on the show, you're playing on there just fine.
Right.
And you know, like the other thing is we're both, you know, PC gamers and my PC is better than these new consoles coming out. So it's hard to get excited about hardware that I know I'm already equaling and or bettering.
I mean, if you spend, you know, $1,500 on a PC, of course it's gonna run better than $400 or $500 console.
Right.
Of course it is.
Right. Of course.
Of course it is.
Yes. So bottom line, when you're making your buying decision this year, just know that neither console has a ton of cream of the crop happening on day one.
No.
Unless you think that cream is tons of games for a low monthly price versus one or two games at full price.
Right.
That's how you got to look at it. And
it's really just like I said, nobody's playing the same game this time around. It's just if you like that one way, then eat it that way. We got Neapolitan going on. If you like the chocolate, get the chocolate.
Yeah.
I'm not going to judge you.
And you may find if you buy all three that you focus on just the chocolate, whatever that one ends up being for you. And so next time, just focus on the chocolate and get that.
Now I want ice cream.
Because remember, Homer used to do that. He'd say, Marge, roll out of Neapolitan, but really he was just out of chocolate. Because he's a dumbass. It's one of my favorite Simpsons things ever. So.
That's a great skit.
All right. Enjoy that while we do this. So we got games to talk about. This week I'm going to start with one that I had my eye on but kind of forgot about. I'd seen a preview of it, just a video preview once on, gosh, where did I see this? Probably on Twitter or something. It was just some low resolution video.
You know, the Twitter thing.
Yeah. And I went, man, when is that coming out? That looks amazing. But I wasn't even sure what people were doing. And I just knew that it was this voxel based game. And by voxels, that could be a lot of things. Like technically, Minecraft is a voxel game, game made up of units that just sort of make up the world. And in the case of Minecraft, every cube is one of those voxels. And the world is made up.
It's larger than a dot, right? It's like a macro dot.
Yeah, it's like it's almost cube. As if it's a pixel. Think of it as a cubism. Pixel, but big fat pixel. And that's what voxels are. And it makes the world look a little chunky and, you know, maybe even a little bit old school or whatever. But that's what you're looking at with something like Minecraft. Well, in comes this game called Teardown, which I saw a video for and immediately fell in love with how it looked, how it seemed like it was playing, or some of the stuff that people were doing. At first glance, if you're not really focused in on the screen too tightly, it looks like a high resolution, you know, lighting effects, beautiful sun environmental effects, long distance draws, that sort of stuff. It's a beautiful looking
game. The lighting
game
and shading is fantastic. It is, like you said, the blocks almost look like Minecraft, but the texturing on the blocks in the lighting is just great.
Well, and also the block density is tiny compared to Minecraft. There's probably, a 100 of these voxels inside of a Minecraft block voxel. Technically it's an increase in resolution, but the concept and the design is still meant to look. It's just hard to explain. It's meant to look like this is all made of these pieces, right? So the person I'm watching right now is dumb and is not doing
it. I was wondering because they've messed with the setting so far. They're walking around with the spray can. They've done some interesting things. Ooh, what is that? It's like smoke.
Yeah, there's some smoke. It's actually a can. It's just a spray can. So you can get into vehicles. You can do all sorts of stuff. But here's the thing. So the premise is, you're this dude who gets called on to get dirty work done when, like, the insurance money needs to get made. So
tear down. I thought this was gonna be like a deconstruction game where you're like contracted by legal terms.
No, this has got a little bit of GTA blood in it or something, if you want to call it that. Your job is to go on missions, and on those missions, it's at night, and your goal might be steal these three computers or tear that.
This is an insurance fraud game.
Yeah, basically. One of them is tear that church down to the ground. You can use explosives. You can do whatever you want.
It's also a terrorist action.
A little bit. But it's always to that end of, like, you know, somebody's contracting you. You're doing it for the money and for the lulls or whatever. And this person who's playing this is very bad because you haven't actually seen what I want you to see yet, which is them smashing walls with a hammer.
So far, this guy's taken down a blind and he's kind of bumped into a wall a couple of times.
Yeah. And he's not using a sledgehammer at all, which is weird because I use it constantly. But
now, can you say sledgehammer without singing it? Can you?
Sledgehammer.
Can you do that? I mean,
I can, but I don't want to.
Right.
I want to sing the song whenever I can. As you can see on this map right now.
Oh my gosh.
There's like a map here of these computer terminals you need to go get. So your goal isn't to necessarily destroy the place. It's to you may have to destroy things to get to the things you have to collect. And so that may be blowing a wall up. You can use your hammer against almost all surfaces except, like, certain brick and steel things aren't going to come down with just your hammer. And some of the texture of the wall might come off, but the bricks themselves aren't going to. You need something bigger. So a way to do that is to go find some explosives and then throw those into the place and try to blow it up that way. The problem is that starts a fire. So you do have an extinguisher and you can put stuff out, but you have to be smart about how quick you do it. You're trying not to raise too many alarms so that people come and try to get you or stop you.
So a little bit of stealth action, but not a lot.
Not a lot of stealth.
Because I'm seeing this guy, he's just like really going to town. But I guess because it's out in the middle of nowhere as opposed to.
Part of the problem is he's just walking around hitting metal things for some reason. And he's wasting his time because his hammer is not going to break the metal. What will get him where he needs to go right now is this truck. Now he's finally found it, so he's going to pull this truck out. Anyway, it's puzzling in some ways. Like, oh, to get up there, I got to get some height. So how do I do that? Oh, there's this lifter machine. I'll drive that, but I have to be careful. If I hit the power lines, it's going to kill me. Like, you can die. There's stuff that'll happen in this thing where you can maybe perish. The fact that this truck is on fire makes you think that he had a problem earlier, but see how he's driving through buildings, stuff's falling apart.
Half the truck's beat up.
And you can spend a big inordinate amount of time in this thing with regular walls and floors and ceilings and stuff, just tearing the place up.
I see. He was trying to do the job of a dump truck with a sledgehammer. That's just not going to work.
Right. This guy's just bad at this. Right. Like right now, if I were him, I would be pounding a hole through the wall and jumping out the window.
Oh, but he's still on the TVs, right? Is that what he's doing?
He's supposed to be still on those Mac looking computers. And there he goes. He got one finally.
I see.
But he's spending most of his time taking pictures off the wall, which is fine because you get some money for some of that, but that's not the primary objective. But also, right. you just need to be more destructive. That's where the game gets really fun. So imagine you, Brian, let's say you're 12 years old, and I said, here's a sledgehammer. Go downtown and destroy that apartment building. The game. That's what I just told you about.
The game.
The video game, let me break things. The video game. That's basically everything adheres to physics. So if you are knocking a building down and you haven't got a good base on the building and it's about to collapse into you, you're dead. You'll die.
Oh, okay.
The machines.
And what's the penalty? And what's the penalty for death? Restarting the project? Does your character suffer humiliation? What's going on?
You go back to your apartment or wherever you live
in shame
by yourself. Your alarm goes off the next day, and you get up, smash your alarm with a hammer. That's true.
Is it Groundhog Day over again?
You just go do the mission again is all. You just do the mission.
Okay, good.
What he's doing right now with this construction equipment, this is great. This is what I would do. He's being smart.
I was going to say he's being smart, but he keeps running over the power lines with that. That can't be safe.
No, he's dumb too. He's dumb and smart at the same time. Anyway, everything's breakable in some way. Oh, there he goes in the water. That's fantastic. He just drove a tractor into the water. So the point is that you do these missions and you go back and you get a bunch of money for doing it. And he's done it. He's now going back to his escape van. Once you do that, here's one of my favorite little surprises in the game. The van drives off. There's this nice cinematic shot of the van driving away. You go home. You wake up. Your alarm's going off. You hit it with the hammer. It's the only way to turn it off, by the way. Smash it.
Oh, interesting.
Although, in this case, he's teleported right to his computer. If his TV was on behind him, which it's not right now, you would see a little pixelated lady doing the news, and she just goes, and behind her and next to her is the place you were just at, and a bunch of breaking news about the warehouse was broken into and four computers were stolen. Nobody knows what the reason was. It's not spoken, but it's got this little like gibberish voice.
Right.
Every mission you complete, you get that. This person playing this right now is not even noticing it because he's probably
too
streaming this
reading.
Going, hey, you guys, don't forget to like and subscribe. He's like, he's not paying attention. But
what game are you playing again? Tear Down, I said.
Yeah, Tear Down. Anyway, made by Tuxedo Labs. The publisher is Tuxedo Labs. I think this is just a dude.
A dude. He's in a tuxedo, I hope.
Well, I don't know about that, but I think it's one guy.
Or does he have like some, you know, Labrador pinchers with tuxedos?
Well,
is it pinchers or pincers?
Pincer. Mini pin.
Pincer.
Min pins is what you call the little ones. So
now this just came out like real recent, 10/29, 2020.
Yeah, three days ago, whatever it was. Yeah.
So $20. This looks like, well, $20 worth. Do you know how long it takes to beat? Is it?
No, it's bigger than, I mean, I'm only, I don't know, I have six missions in or something, and there seems to be no end to the campaign. But there's also an open world mode, and I don't know how that works yet because I haven't tried it.
Interesting.
There's some kind of sandbox mode. I'll mess with that later today, but it's good. Tuxedo Labs, the price is $19.99. It is technically an open or early access, but it's got this fully fledged campaign. And it seems like it's really going to go places. Currently enjoying a overwhelmingly positive review on Steam. Only on Steam, as best I can tell. It's nowhere else. And their description is this. Prepare for the perfect heist in the simulated and fully destructible voxel world. Tear down walls with vehicles or explosives to create shortcuts. Stack objects to reach higher. Use the environment to your advantage. in the most creative way you can think of. And I think they have nailed everything they're asking for there. As you can see, this guy's having a hard time getting in the perimeter. This is the same place he was in before, but they put in a new security system.
Oh.
So he can't just bust in. He has to figure out, all right, well, how am I going to get in here this time? Because he needs these files. And he's clearly
struggling. Oh, he looks very mad. Yeah, he looks very angry.
He doesn't know what he's doing. He's having a real hard time. Anyway, it's really neat. If you've got a, I don't know how this runs on average PCs. I'm running it smooth as milk. It's just no problems. But I've heard some have had a bit of a stutter with older video cards.
Right.
Keeps track of a lot of geometry in this game.
Yeah, and, you think if it's got everything is breakable and it's made up of those tiny voxels, that's gonna eat up some resources, especially if you're rendering it before you get there. So
yeah,
looks like they are. So,
oh, look
yeah.
where this guy and he went back here. Where's he going? Oh my gosh!
Oh, he's going pond. To. The, can you go there?
Well, maybe. See, there's just
this guy's gonna go knock some fish out with his sledgehammer.
There's different ways to skin this rabbit, I guess. Anyway,
look at this guy. Oh, but no, he didn't make it though. No. Oh, he's gonna jump.
This sounds interesting at all. What I've described.
Now I'm actually invested in this guy's play style. Now you say he sucks, things.
No, he's done. He's bad. He's just bad.
He's bad.
Yeah.
It's okay. That was Teardown.
It's okay.
It's on Steam.
Yeah, it's on Steam. Go get it.
I might have to get this one. This one looks like a lot of fun.
All right, Brian, tell me about something.
Graveyard Keeper.
Yeah, both of us got it. The DLC for this, but I haven't tried it yet. Graveyard Keeper is a game I already had. Game of Crone is the DLC.
Game of Crone is the DLC. The description for that is, if you haven't played Graveyard Keeper, by the way, it's an amazing game. It's an RPG. It's kind of a Stardew Valley kind of type, except you're keeping up a graveyard and other things such as that. You are the Graveyard Keeper. Game of Crones is you'll have to help the escaped prisoners of the Inquisition, because that's what usually happens in the main storyline, survive in the wilderness by providing them with everything they need to develop their camp to fortify settlements while keeping in mind its benefits. So is taking the story a little bit further than you'd already seen if you've already been playing Graveyard Keeper, which I have been, but I haven't played it in about a year as well. And so I just started over from scratch. I think I had this on the Switch, but this time I picked it up on the on PC Steam.
Yeah.
And like Scott was saying, we both received game codes for the DLC. Mm-hmm. It's about $10. Developers Lazy Bear Games and Tiny Build is the publisher. By the way, I love Tiny Build. Just came out this past week in time for your Halloween. It's only like $10. Anyway. So this is additional content to Graveyard Keeper. Let's talk about Graveyard Keeper for a minute. Like I said, it's a Stardew Valley type. If you've never played that kind of game, did you ever play Stardew Valley, Scott?
Yeah. To death. I loved Stardew Valley.
To death. But this one is set in a medieval time. How did you get there? Your character pops up at the very beginning of the story. He dies and then maybe dies, maybe not. I don't know. He's trying to get back to modern times, but he's shifted back to be this Graveyard Keeper in the past, and you're being guided by this skull that is telling you how to do your job.
Far flung past, by the way, not just like recent past. This is like a long,
right.
It's like in the Middle Ages, and you're
it's medieval. Yeah, when you it's your modern times, and you're on your cell phone, you're talking to your girl, and you get something happens, and you die, and then but you're not really dead. Mm-hmm. So I haven't finished the storyline. I haven't finished the campaign yet. I don't know exactly what's going on or why it is, or if it ever even tells you why. Mm. But you're like in this limbo of graveyard keeping, and you have to do a good job. If you do a good job, then the skeleton that you meet in the beginning will help you get back home. You click your shoes 3 times, and you say that no place like home, and you go home, I guess. I don't know. But it's what's that?
That sounds right to me, the way you described it.
It sounds right. It's absolutely right. So what you're doing mostly is you're collecting things, crafting things, and fulfilling requests by the community and the village. And while you're doing that, you're also trying to keep in good with the church, and you're trying to keep up a nice graveyard by making sure the tombstones are in order, and they will degrade. And this donkey, this socialist donkey, is he a socialist or is he a capitalist?
Know.
I forget.
I don't know.
He's got some kind of political slant. Anyway, he's constantly showing up from the village. And he's always got some dead bodies, and you have to get those corpses into the mortuary and harvest things from them, such as flesh and meat.
You got to harvest flesh. I've been there. We've all been there.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then you have to take the body and bury it in the graveyard because you are the graveyard keeper. And if the graveyard's getting too full, you just throw them in the river. River kind of goes downstream to the village. I don't know the ramifications is that, but I do it anyway. Yeah. Do you do that? You just throw the bodies in the river. It's like, you're out of here.
Well, sometimes you have to because it takes a while to earn and unlock new grave sites. And so you got to do something with these bodies. So throw them down the river. Why not?
Yeah, it costs you a little bit every time you're doing a graveyard. You gotta have the right resources. So every time you do like a grave, you can't just run out there willy-nilly and do it. You gotta do the thing. The skull wants a beer. I don't know why. And the bartender, he's kind of a jerk. You met the bartender?
Oh, yeah.
Down at the end? Yeah, he's a jerk.
He's a jerk, sure.
But not as bad as his wife is.
No.
She won't talk to you. You're like constantly trying to talk to her, and she's like, yeah, let's go talk to my husband. He takes care of everything. It's also, like, why are you even here?
The game is very like, if you're saying to yourselves, this doesn't sound like Stardew Valley, here's where it's the same. You talk to villagers, you build relationships. Yeah, those relationships unlock things further on down the road. Your main jobs are during the daylight hours to do certain things, at night doing certain things, resting when you have to. It's just like a darker take on the Stardew Valley idea, and there's bodies involved, and you know, it's just a little more grim. But
it's a lot more grim.
But I love the look of it. This is one of my favorite things about it. Is I think it is a gorgeous sort of 16-bit sort of style to it. I prefer it over Stardew Valley. I wish Stardew Valley looked like this, but sadly it does not.
I only prefer it for that. I also prefer it for the quirkiness of it. It's got such a quirky storyline and characters, and you're trying to reveal what's going on. You don't quite know what's going on because you keep getting visited by ghosts, especially if you go back to the house and you go to sleep to rest. Then you'll wake up and there they'll be. Plus, there's all this dungeon work underneath all the buildings. There's like an interconnected dungeon between your house's basement and the church and different areas. And it's just, I've really enjoyed it so far. I enjoyed it so much, actually. I've decided to start playing it on Thursdays for the next 4 to 6 weeks to completely finish it out. So I didn't get real deep into the DLC this time because I just really want to take it easy with this one. I've started before and I never completed it, and I feel like that's something I want to do this year.
Yeah,
2020, the year I finished Graveyard Keeper, which is like a 12-hour.
Yeah, it's game, not, right? Well, is it? I thought it was longer than that. Doesn't that have more
stuff? It might be. The DLC is between 6 to 12 hours. So yeah, the game is definitely longer than that.
Yeah, it's a beast.
Like I said, it's only $10 right now on Steam. If you already got the game was on sale this past week as well for like $6 or something, I think.
Yeah, they're trying. It was a good promo for a kind of a Halloween game. Here's the other thing I would mention to people though, just as a bit of a warning: if you like a game with a really long slow burn, if you guys like a slow build up and a taking a while to kind of get your freaking wind, this is a good game for you because it does have a slow burn. It takes a while. Once you get there, it's pretty cool, and you'll start to fall in love with it a little bit. But those early goings are a little bit obtuse and. A little bit long in the beginning.
Yeah. Well, you're doing a lot of things that just make absolutely near zero sense. Like it's like, all these little fetch quests where you got to start creating your relationships, and the relationships are all very loosely based on very simple things. Like I need some iron. I need a beer. I need a sandwich. It's really loosely connected until you start snowballing, like you said, and it starts burning good.
Yeah, I ended up liking it the more I played it, is what I'm saying, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think you'll just do, you know, if you run into like, oh, this is a little slow at the top, it does get better. So check it out.
Hang in there.
But you talked about this game before, but this DLC is significant, so worth talking about again. Go check it out. It's available now on
Game of Crone and the Graveyard Keeper.
Let me tell you a little bit about a game that surprised the hell out of me. And
I'm jealous of you getting this game because I actually requested this game.
Oh, they didn't get it to you, did they?
I didn't get it, yeah.
Well, I didn't either. I had to buy it.
I was coming close. I was like, I'm going to wait until the, and then the last second they said, nah. And I was like, oh, too late.
Well,
it's Halloween.
This is a very cool game. It seems like, if you were to guess, that this is like Halloween only game, but...
Right.
I don't think so. I think this game's better than just a Halloween game. Anyway, it's called Pumpkin Jack, and it's about this dude what has a pumpkin head, and his name is Jack. And He has a whole bunch
Sold.
Of, he has a bunch of skins he can unlock in this game, so he can look different. He can look like a cowboy or like a, yeah, I don't know, like different stuff.
Right. But when you're talking about it, something scary, when you say there's unlockable skins, that makes me think that he's like literally going to go buy someone's skin, like from Buffalo Bill. Is it Bob Bill?
That's funny. Buffalo Bill. I think that's funny you say that because in the game, the character that you buy your skins from makes it makes a lot of hooey and jokey about how these are real skins taken from victims. So you're not wrong. But it's super cartoony and not meant to be, you know, gross. This is perfectly suitable game for a kid to play. It's just a little macabre, you know. The worst thing I could say about it is it's maybe a little Tim Burton-y, but that's about as bad as it gets in terms of horror.
That was the vibe I got immediately.
Yeah. It's very much a Tim Burton game, or kind of game, I would say. But conceptually, basically, it's Jack and Daxter style. Do you remember the platformers, the look and the feel of platformers in the PlayStation 2 GameCube era? Those are the games I'm talking about here. Jack and Daxter in particular has I think feels a lot like this game does. You kill a lot of enemies. The enemies explode. They give you the health that they had when they explode. You get different weapons as you go. Those weapons get upgraded. You talk to a lot of characters. It's all very goofy. You have a crow that hangs out with you. You get him very early on. And whenever you send this crow out, he can damage stuff before you get to it and finish it off. Sometimes it can eliminate things entirely. There's hidden stuff, these little crow heads you got to find. And when you collect those, you can use those as currency to buy these skins that I mentioned. The levels are very puzzly. It's like, well, how do I get over there? How do I do this? Well, I got a double jump, so I guess I can do that. You can also tear certain areas you have to get through. You can tear your head off, and your head is now like a crab. Pumpkin.
What? Wait, with like legs?
Yeah, like little tentacle legs, and it goes and does puzzles that you have to unlock, and then your head will come back to your body, and you're good again. So a lot of little weird intermission stuff like that. There's mine cart stuff where you're racing around on a mine cart all the time. I played through a ton of it on stream, and it also supports RTX ray tracing, by the way, which looked real good. Although it had a little trouble streaming that RTX stuff. It looked fine on my end, but the stream got real bogged. So I don't know what that was about. But anyway, a lot of cool lighting effects are there if you have the hardware to support it. Otherwise, it still looks good. But that
it's a beautiful looking game. That was what attracted me to it to begin with.
Yeah, it's a very nice looking game. But also very basic. Like, they're not, you know, these are simple. What's the word I'm looking for? The style is a simplistic style, but in a good way. I don't mean that in a negative.
Right.
And so they're able to have a lot going on, but also keeping it simple. And again, you know, very PlayStation 2, like, you know, nice rounded little character models. And it's just nothing crazy fancy happening on the graphics front, other than it's exactly what it should be for what it is, I suppose.
Right. I think the character design is very simplistic, but the world design is actually pretty complex, especially in this outside shot we're looking at with all these fires running and everything. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's pretty good. You know, this particular set piece in the game is, I haven't seen one quite like it since, so I think it was kind of designed for then and then only, but maybe later we'll get more of this sort of thing. I haven't quite beat it, but there are basically six zones or worlds, and they're pretty hefty. They take a while to do. There are mini bosses, there are bosses. The boss fights are really fun, and they very much adhere to that whole, you know, law of threes. I got to hit you down the head three times somehow. And you figure out how to do that and figure out what the way the boss behaves, and you might die once or twice. I didn't die a lot. I mostly did fine through everything I've played, but it is just a really fun throwback to about, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago in gaming. And it seems to know it. And also, it's a dude, a guy named Nicolas Maisonnier, some French dude, made this. It published under the name Head Up, but it's one guy. I don't know how these one guys are pulling this off anymore.
Amazing. Yeah.
Blowing my mind. Anyway, it came out on the 23rd. It was obviously a good release for Halloween because it's very Halloweeny, but I think it plays fine whether you're in the holiday or not.
That's what kind of worried me, and the reason why I asked for a code instead of purchasing it is because I was a little afraid. It looked like it was going to be launching very close to Halloween. And I'm like, I don't know, it $30 that close to Halloween, and if it's mostly Halloweenish, are they trying to push this thing too fast? But it looks like it's pretty solid.
It's really solid. I think they did a great job. It doesn't feel like, you know, shovelware for
a rush job or
So check it out. It is available now. And it
Pumpkin
is only
Jack.
$29.99. That may sound like a lot, but there is a lot here. It is definitely a $30 game.
Yeah. Pumpkin Jack. This interests me.
Yeah.
That's
good.
I might have to go back to this.
I mean, a lot of people are going to look back on those Jack and Daxter days and go, oh man, I'm glad we're past those. And this may not be for you, but if you have any fondness for that,
right?
They made one of those. And when I say they, one guy did it. All right, Brian, finish us out with our major talking points today with a game called Mesmer.
So I did get a Steam game code for this from the developer Rain Games, also the publisher. Just came out recently. Mesmer is a social survival game where you're trying to start a riot.
Uh-oh.
To overthrow the king, who has become corrupt and has employed a secret police to monitor all the people. Now, how do you do that? Well, you have to do that through negotiation and trade with different factions, such as the merchants and the ordinary police, not the secret police, and the workers and the bourgeois.
Oh, the bourgeoisie.
The bourgeoisie. Yeah. And so you're on the island of Mesmer, and you're going to meet the Mesmer folk in their shops and on the street. You may find this game quite lovely to look at, as well as quite humorous.
It's got a little tilt shift going on the cameras there. Got a little tilt shift effect going on.
It does. And you can switch very quickly with a third person camera follow on your character, or you can do an overhead. And I was actually doing the overhead almost entirely. And then the one of the developers, the guy who did the music for this, stopped in on my stream and says, I won't give you any hints unless you ask me directly, and told me who he was, and love his the music he was doing for this game is fantastic, by the way. Mm. And he was like, yeah, you hit the Y button and you can choose to third person follow instead of doing the other. These guys here, these characters we're looking at, almost every character's name is very specific and humorously styled to be like with their profession. Now, this is Eric Clapton, not the funniest one, not the punniest they have, but you'll also see right now what I'm trying to decide is how to get this guy to go on strike. And in order to accomplish that, you'll see there's some spinning wheels at the top of the screen. And so what happens is you can enhance those, and you have to hit a certain number when those spin in order to convince him. If you don't convince him,
interesting.
You're in
trouble. It's like a bit of a dice roll, kind of a. It's like rolling dice, I guess. I don't know. This sounds a lot like Legion, like Watch Dogs Legion, where you're trying to recruit
people. Right. Actually, I was thinking about that earlier because you had said something like that, and I actually thought that was the same thing. Just a different way to play it and a different way to look at it. This is a strategy game at heart. You are out and about in the city of Mesmer, trying to convince others to form a union and to revolt against the powers that be. And so you're constantly trying to balance between the different factions, because you say one thing and it pisses off the rich people, or so you have to find this way to be charismatic, riotous leader. And the bad thing is, though, if you fail, then you get a horsening, and you don't want that.
What's a horsening? You get plucked.
I didn't know at first. That was kind of God's concern. So you get, if you get the horse thing, they put like almost looks like you've seen the pinata looking head in Fortnite, right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? So you get kind of like that. They put one of those in your head, and you can't see really anymore, and you have to go around and like sweep the floor. I suppose you can't see up in the sky anymore.
Oh, it's just for humiliation. I thought they were gonna.
It's absolutely humiliation. It ends the game. And that's part of the game. The part of the game is this constant failure. You're going to fail a lot in this game. And that's intentionally. You're supposed to go in. You're supposed to try a few things. You're supposed to have those discussions. You're supposed to try to convince certain factions and characters of certain things. And they have weaknesses, such as they can either be they can be like greedy, or maybe they're like they're easily swayed by food. You find out what their weaknesses are, and you manipulate them.
How do we feel about the character design in this thing? I'm getting kind of
the character design is probably is not my style.
Yeah,
I'm not saying it's good, bad. It's just not my style. It's not something that I particularly care for.
Yeah, it's a little like a student project in college kind of style. Like it's
right. I couldn't quite figure out it. Let's put it this way. It became really inconsequential pretty quickly because the gameplay was just that fun. I like the strategy aspect of it, of how the time, there's a curfew each night. And so you only have so many hours in a day to accomplish something, but how those hours tick away is by interaction. So every time you interact, it's a cost for time. Yeah. So those are kind of like your move points. And so you have to pick them. So you may have a task that's required and you have to accomplish it within so many days or a day's frame. And if you don't do that, then you lose points with either that faction or maybe the individual, and it could really screw you in other places. So there's a lot of strategy going on here, having these little discussions and working on these social interactions.
Looks like these discussions are like most of the gameplay, right? Like most of the time.
Yeah. Well, what you saw, yes, during that time, there is times where there is a lot of discussing and a lot of talking, and there's other times where you do a lot of exploration. And there's this is one of the this what's happening right now on screen is the big part when you get a chance to make a speech in the town square. This is where you take your big risk. You get out there and you either sway people, but the entire time you're swaying people, you're also kind of letting the secret police know what you're up to. And if you go too far, then that's when you get the horsening or the shaming.
Interesting. So you got some undecided voters in there, and you got the speech police over there on the right, and you got to try to balance this. It sounds like a more complex, fleshed out version of that game on iOS and Android that eventually ended up on Steam called For the Queen or something, where you flip the card back and forth. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And it would say, the people are revolting.
I think I've seen it.
It's like, should you put some in prison or give them food? And if you choose prison, then you have a certain set of problems that will arise that will piss off a certain faction. But if you do the food, it will make those people happy. But this other faction would be pissed that you were doing too soft on the people. And so you're always trying to balance this, like, keep them all happy, you know, or do the best you can before you lose. It sounds like this is just like a big blown out version of that, which is interesting.
Yeah. And it's very reasonably priced. It's called Mesmer. It is $15 on Steam. As far as I can tell, I don't know how long the gameplay is because, you know, you just keep playing and losing. I don't think there's really any way to say. It's more like you're playing rounds than anything. You just kind of keep popping back in. And there's different regions that are locked, and then you can get passes for those. And you have to use bribery sometimes, or you have to persuade to get those passes. And then you can explore further, and it kind of gets bigger and bigger for your area and more people to manage.
Interesting. Okay. I think this seems, what's the word? There's a word for what I'm trying to say. This seems, what are you when you're like, you're really going for something?
Right.
What's that called? You're like,
super, when you're really going for it. And I don't know. Go ahead.
Not gregarious. What's the word I'm looking for?
It's a big risk. The risk takers, they're going all in. They're going all in.
Not gregarious.
Gregarious.
The word.
I do like gregarious though. That's a good word though.
Not focused is another word, and I can't think of it. Not auspicious. Oh.
They're adventurous. They're
ambitious. Ambitious.
That's it. Ambitious.
Ugh.
We just went through the entire thesaurus to find that word for
that was
Scott.
That was freaking
painful. You're right. It is a very ambitious thing, and I had fun. I haven't completed it completely, so it's hard to say how the end game plays, but I had a lot of fun when I did play. I'm going to play some more of it.
All right. Quick correction, not correction, but an answer to what I asked earlier, which is the mobile game where you play the card thing back and forth and that sort of mini version of this. That game is called Reigns.
Reigns. Oh, yes.
There was a Game of Thrones Reigns, and it was something Queen something, and I can't remember what the subtitle was, but yeah. If you haven't played Reigns, you should probably play Reigns. It's pretty cool.
You should play Reigns. Yeah. You should pick this. Was it like $5?
It's pretty good. Yeah.
Is auspicious is what it is.
Auspicious, sure. That's the way.
It's a me, Mario.
All right, check it out. We got our chance to play a little game, and we call it Guess My Game. Yeah, that's right. We take audio.
No, you guess my game.
No, you guess mine. That's the rule, is you guess mine first.
No, that's right. I go first.
Yeah. So here's how it works. I'll play some audio from an old game. It can be a week old, or it can be 50 years old. It doesn't matter. We try to guess what each other's games are.
You almost did 100, didn't you?
Well, I almost did. I'm going to play you this, Brian. You're not going to have any idea what this is. Whoa, turn that off. Okay. Whether if you get this, I'll be shocked to tell you. Shocked. But you might. And let's give it a shot and see if you know what this is. Here you go.
Wow.
It's really annoying. Any ideas?
Moses. This has got to be like a is definitely Atari era.
You would be pretty close to the correct. That's pretty correct-ish. I'll say it was on PC and the year was 85. Let's say that.
Oh, interesting. Okay, PC 85. Got to be a DOS game.
Yep, and I'll also say that.
And
this,
it's got the tank sound effects to it.
Yeah, that could. This part is the worst. Any guesses?
You died.
PC 85.
I don't know. You got any more hints?
It's based on the game of the same name that started it all in video games. Let's put it that way. Many say it's the first video game ever made.
Oh,
and this is the 1985 PC version.
I mean, there's Pong. But so is it a Pong type?
Definitely not the first game ever made. Pong is definitely not that.
Pong's not the first game. Table tennis is not the first game.
Nope, not even close.
I mean, there's that battleship game that was like
not even close.
Someone in the chat got it.
Crimson Neon got it, but don't look there yet. I don't want to spoil it for you unless you have any other ideas.
I don't know.
If you know your game history, then you will remember a little game called Space War.
Space War.
Came out in the late 60s, early 70s in MIT.
Right.
I think it was MIT. And they built it on an oscilloscope thing, whatever.
That's what I was trying to think of. But I thought it was some kind of battleship thing, but it was Space War?
Space War. In 1985, there was a PC version of it that I had that was called just Space War. And it played basically the same. But it had all those awful sounds. It sounded like it was using keyboard notification noises off the motherboard, basically, to do it.
Terrible.
But yeah, it's really bad.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
Never do that one again.
And I feel like I owe everyone an apology for the sound.
Right. Beep, boop, beep, boop.
I went way back, though, for that. That was the 85 version that was, you know, a little too early for sound cards and things like that. So you were probably
playing. Well, mine's a lot more recent than that.
Oh, good. Well, let's find out what. I'll play it now.
Hey, ain't you the A-number-one polecat honcho? Yeah. And you're in my way.
That first guy sounded like you. I just want to put that out there.
It was me. How'd you know? It
sounded just like you.
Well, get used to it, bud. When a Rottweiler's hit the road, we own it.
Look, I'm serious. Someone's ambushing the polecats.
Someone's ambushing the polecats? Oh, heavens. Whatever
this was
we
10
do.
Years later, also on bus.
So 10 years have been 95?
Yeah.
Come on, kitty.
How far have we come?
Well, we went pretty far in 10 years, I would say.
Yeah.
Is it a side-scrolling beat-em-up?
No,
it is not.
Okay, wait, there's this thing at the end.
Is the graphic adventure video game?
It's like a point-and-click adventure style thing?
Somewhat, yes. LucasArts, 1995.
Oh, Full Throttle.
Full Throttle, baby.
Yeah. I knew it. I knew all those games, but I wasn't sure which one until you said LucasArts confirmed it. And then I went, oh, yeah, a guy on a motorcycle getting in a fight like Roadhouse style. Like, yeah, totally, this has got to be it. Well, one of us won this week because I guessed it.
Meh-her.
Right.
Meh-her. Well, in my defense, mine was something that would a normal human being could guess.
You're not wrong. Mine was hard. I wouldn't have ever gotten mine. Are you kidding? Not even close. So, yeah, that game is getting a reboot or a redo or something.
A redo-ish. These games always promise to come back, and then they never kind of do, but they kind of...
Sometimes they do. Grim Fandango's remake was amazing. That was just
Pretty good. That was actually a Full Throttle remastered from 2017.
That's the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
It's out there. That exists.
Double Fine did that, yeah.
Let's see, I'm gonna skip ahead here in this trailer. Oh, so they just really updressed their art. It's like they did with Grim Fandango. That's cool.
Yeah.
All right, I would play that again. I would play that game. I liked it the first time. I would play it now. Now I would play it.
I would play it twice.
I would play it two times. All right. Well, that was fun. I enjoyed that. Will I enjoy this? I bet I will. It's time for us to read emails. And I got two of them today because they're both great recommendations and they both deserve a little bit of time. So, boopshow@gmail.com is where you'll send your emails. And we're going to read two of them. One of these came from Jeff Burns of Kansas City, Missouri. He says, Hey there, Scott and Brian.
Look at there.
He says, I've been a longtime listener and would like to recommend the game Foxhole, available on Steam. It is an isometric view, fictional world, conflict game pitting wardens against the colonials in real time. Everything besides the map terrain has been created by a player. Every rifle, grenade, clip, and ammo, respawn, uniform, and base defense has to be made by someone playing the game.
Interesting.
Yeah. Players are locked out of their faction for about 6 minutes so they can so no team switching if somebody's side is losing badly. Developers are giving frequent updates and adding new vehicles / weapons to the game all the time. Cheers, Jeff. Well, Jeff, I will check it out. Foxhole.
That sounds actually very interesting. $20 on Steam. I like the idea that everything has been created, I guess, to the Steam Workshop. Is that what I'm assuming? Or is it in-game, I wonder?
Currently 35% off.
Nice.
Oh, no. Sorry, that sale just ended. That's wrong.
Incorrect. So now it's just not that.
Came out in 2017. They describe it as a massively multiplayer game where you work with hundreds of players to escape the outcome of a persistent online war. That's ambitious. There's that word. I get to use it again.
There's that word again.
Oh, it's pretty. This looks good.
It is pretty.
It's still in early access, even though it came out in 2017. Looks like it's still going strong. I would be curious about this.
Interesting. This.
Some of the complaints are that the community's a little toxic, but my experience has been any game about war stuff, the community's a little toxic.
Because, I mean, that's what it's about, right? I mean,
they want to shoot the bad guys. So,
yeah.
I don't know. And everyone thinks the other side is bad.
Well, yeah, of course. That's what you do.
I mean, duh.
Duh.
So anyway, there's a recommendation from him. Braden wrote in, says, greeting, flip and flop. I just wanted to make a quick recommendation for an Apple Arcade game that I picked up recently. It's called Mini Motorways, made by Dinosaur Polo Club. Brian Ibbett actually recommended this on TMS not long ago, so I'm glad we're bringing it up here. It says, this little game is very fun and quite addicting, especially if you like high scores. The game is essentially a randomly generated puzzle game where you learn very quickly how much you really hate traffic. The point of the game is to connect the homes to their places of work based on their colors. Sounds simple? Nay. You will quickly realize that you need to really think about your layout and your roads because you have a limited amount of roads for each week. Plus, you need to figure out the best way to use the other traffic tools in your belt and make decisions each week in the game. There are a variety of maps that you can top your high score with on each of them. My personal best is 1554 on the LA map. Hope you guys give this game a try. Love the show and stay safe.
And that was Mini Motorways?
Mini Motorways.
Interesting.
Raiden.
Also, there's a page on Steam for it eventually. It doesn't say when it's going to come out. It says release 2020. Isn't there yet, but it's on the Apple Arcade.
Has a neat graphic style to it. My big takeaway from it. I haven't played it yet, but seeing it in action, it's like, oh, that's cool UI they got going.
Well, I still think I meant to mention it during the show, and I didn't mention it earlier, but that looks really cool. But you really need to play that Kingpins. I said, y'all.
Okay, so you said play this Kingpins game. I'm going to check it out.
Yeah.
And also, I want to tell people that I've been playing. I forgot to mention this on Halloween. I live streamed the first 2.5 hours or so of Alien Isolation.
Oh, did you now? Yeah. How are you still here? How are you sane?
I know. Probably because I'm playing it with my daughter sitting there. So we're playing it together and it's less crazy when you're not by yourself. That game, this surprised the hell out of me. I thought it was newer than that, but it came out in 2014. It looks like a game that came out last week. It's freaking beautiful on the PC. Like, jaw-droppingly pretty. It doesn't feel like a game from... How many years is that now? 8 years ago? 7 years ago?
8 years.
Doesn't feel that old. It's really
Probably still playing my Xbox 360.
Yeah, so was I. We all were. No, wait. No, there were new consoles then.
How many years ago was it?
2013 was new consoles.
Okay.
That fall. So, yeah.
That doesn't feel right.
But it's scary, and I didn't know Sigourney Weaver did a little voiceover at the top of it. That's pretty cool. It's good. It's scary. It's scaring the pants off of me, but we're enjoying it, and we're going to keep streaming it. So keep an eye out for when those go live. And
I have it in my library. I'm installing it now.
You should put it in there. I mean, that's the other thing is I had it forever, and I just never played it. And then finally, I was like, all right, I have no excuse. Carter's like, we got to play something scary. I'm like, all right, we're doing it.
The cutscenes
are a little janky, but I don't know why they are. They remind me of Just Cause 4 has this problem. Like the cutscenes were captured at a really crappy low frame rate, and they're pre-rendered, and they look bad, and it's just, for some reason, it just doesn't match the game itself. And all I could think of was these just must be really old, but the game itself, you know, is now running at 4K, and yeah, I don't know why that looks so bad, but it's cool. It's very, very cool. And it's
14.6 gigabytes.
It's not that big.
Not for today's standards, but for back then standards.
For 6 years ago?
Holy Moses.
No, 6 years ago we were installing games that big. World of Warcraft was 100 and something gig freaking 10 years ago.
Yeah, but that was World of Warcraft. That was always like, holy Moses.
Have you seen the Call of Duty game lately? That current load is like 250 gigabytes.
Yeah, we're going to be hitting the 1 terabytes for too much longer. Like, just 1 terabyte.
Yeah. Yeah. It's cool, though. I think that game's great. I think it's a proof that you can make a game about a franchise like Aliens and have it look and feel right. Like, it feels like somebody took some real care to make sure they lived up to their fandom of that franchise. So,
nice. I'm not done with it. Sega's 60th anniversary.
Is it? Oh, wow. Sega's old.
How is it 60 years old? I know Nintendo was old because they started out as a card company, but what was Sega doing 60 years ago?
Yeah, Sega was, they were up to business, man. They were doing work.
That was 1960s.
Yeah. Yeah, what do you think they were doing? Building Mario from scratch way back then. It's a me, Mario, see? Yeah. Oh, that's,
yeah, see, what is this?
I don't know, Mario, man. Sonic is what I meant.
I don't know. I was curious. I was like, I'm just going to play along.
Oh, do you know this about Tails? I got to tell you something about Tails. All right, so you know Sonic and Tails, right?
Sonic and Tails, yeah. Tails, okay. the two-tailed lady. No, not lady.
It's not
guy,
a lady.
Friend.
Yeah. Okay, so Sonic and Tails. Let me tell you about Tails here real quick. I found something about him that I did not know. Here it is. Sonic, where's Tails? Okay,
Tails was a girl, not a dude.
His full name is Miles Tails Prower. Okay, his last name's Prower, middle name Tails. That's what everyone calls him, is Tails. His first name is Miles.
Right.
Miles Tails Prower. If you take out the Tails, his name, because he's fast, okay?
Right.
His name is Miles Prower.
Miles
Prower.
Nice.
What the frick? I'm today Tails years old that hour. I heard this. I heard this today on a TikTok video.
That is interesting. I did not know that. That's interesting.
Yeah. So I was starting to see if anyone else in this game, like, who's the big hunky dude, the big purple guy? I don't remember his name. Anyway, maybe they all have funny names too. Anyway, whatever. Miles Prower. Get it? You guys get it? You get it?
Prower. I got it. I love it.
Okay, great. That's it for your emails. Thank you for sending those. Boopshow@gmail.com is where you can send yours if you're thinking, man, I should do that too. And if you're looking for more about us and where to find things we're doing, you can check us out at frogpants.com/boop. Find us on Twitter at Boopshow, the Brian Dunaway, and Scott Johnson. Brian, do you have anything you want to say before we go?
I do. I have a question. It's almost Thanksgiving. What are my Thanksgiving games?
Uh-huh.
I'm asking.
Oh,
it's
I know
a question.
What mine are. World of Warcraft. That's what you play on Thanksgiving.
That's a Thanksgiving game?
Yeah, hell yeah. And this year, even more
is
so.
Is there like a banquet?
No, it's just Well, they do have an event, but Shadowlands launches the week of Thanksgiving this year. Most years, the game, or most expansion years, that's when you're
Apologies.
Really playing it.
I meant to ask, what Thanksgiving themed game?
Oh, there aren't any. Those don't exist. Oh. Unless you can think of one, I can't think of anything.
What about some kind of one of those shooting games? What about those hunting games? How about that?
Them shooting games? Yeah, maybe. Maybe you go turkey hunting in one of those. I don't know.
Right.
Not really. I'm not knowledgeable in the ways of the turkey hunting.
Turkey hunt? Yeah. What is that, fastidious? Is that a thing?
It might be. He might be making that up, though. He does that. Anyway, let us know what you find out between now and next week on all the turkey hunting games. Have a fantastic week. We'll see you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I don't like steam. I love steam.